श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरु वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपं साग्रजातं सह गण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्णपादां सह गण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्पिषे नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरवंत जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरवंत जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरवभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा Still the wave of Gaurabhudima is still flowing. Huh? It has not passed away. The days around the holy festivals like Gaurapurnima still carry the vibrations. So we will continue to discuss Gaur Katha today. In the Vedic literature, it is explained that even before one discusses the pastimes of Lord in this world, one should understand the actual position of the Lord before one can release the pastimes. Therefore, first few minutes I want to devote on this important topic. To succinctly put it, the scriptures say the Lord has three characteristics which make Him very special, extraordinary. We can hear the lecture, isn't it? The first is called Paramatattva. You see, anything that exists, for example, if this is existing here, this existence is called Satta. And if it continues to exist in this place for a prolonged period of time, it's called Sthiti. It continues to exist. So if you take all the objects like that, you will see they exist and they exist for a period of time, and then either they are transformed, they are changed for a period of time, or they are so changed that you can't even know what they were. For example, we all have taken bodies in the previous life. Now when we leave that body and take body in the next life, you know, not only we have forgotten who we were before, all the activities we did have become completely forgotten from our memory altogether, isn't it? So all the 24 material elements in this world, they are constantly on flux. They change, some particular shape comes and then the shape changes continuously. But in the Shastras it is mentioned that even after the Pralaya Kal, it is Lord Vishnu whose eyes are wide open, and he is watching and witnessing everything. Even the sun and moon lose their glare after the Pralaya Kal. All the living entities are all kept in the navel of Garbhadaksha Vishnu. At that time, you know, the Lord is the only person who is wide awake. So Gajendra is singing one prayer in which he is telling this, "My dear Lord, you are a Sakshi in all the four stages, Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti and Samadhi. You are always awake. And also this pralaya, for you to do, all it takes you is winking of your eye, that's all. You wink your eye and pralaya can take place. Another wink of the eye, Srishti can take place. So everyone and everything is at your beck and call, and you are ever existent. Generally, if you see, right now we are in Jagrati state. Night when you sleep, you may get some other dream in which you may be somebody else. So we are different in Jagrati and different in Swapna. In Sushupti we are, deep sleep means deep ignorance. And Samadhi is a very elevated stage. You know, few great souls achieve the stage of Samadhi. But the Lord in all four stages is wide awake. He's watching. Why I am telling this, a devotee of the Lord should appreciate the Lord's existence and Lord's non-transforming nature. He is always existing in that sthiti, position. Before the dawn of creation, during the manifested creation, and after the annihilation, he continues to exist. So he is called as Paramatattva. Paramatattva means he is the supreme truth beyond which there is no truth. As Krishna says, Matta Parataram Na Anyat. There is no truth superior to me. There is one Madhusudan Vachaspati. Prabhupada often quotes this author. He says, Krishnat Param Kimapi Tattvam Aham Na Jane. He says, Krishnat Param, higher than Krishna, Kim Api Tattvam, any other truth, Aham Na Jane, I do not know, he says. And Shankaracharya in his commentary to Vishnu Sahasranama wrote one statement that disturbed many impersonalists. What he wrote in the introduction to Vishnu Sahasranama Bhashya, he said that Brahma Jyoti is Paratattvam and Krishna is Parat Paratattvam. So he writes, Para plus Para is Parat Para. Para means transcendental to material world, and Parat Para means transcendental to the transcendental. And Krishna, because he is the source of Brahma Jyoti. So some of the impersonalistic commentators, even today, if you ask them why Shankaracharya says this, so some of them try to evade saying that he has written it in Bhakti Bhav, because he is going to write commentary to Vishnu Sahasranam, therefore he has written this, as if he was in illusion or something. So Krishna is that ultimate truth. Therefore, getting out of this material world is not all, but to attain the spiritual world is an altogether different thing. Krishna says, Janma Bandha Vinirmukta Padam Gacchanta Namayam. Two steps he is telling. Janma Bandha Vinirmukta means Jiva has to become free from the entanglement of material existence and come up to Brahma Jyoti. And then what he should do? Padam Gacchanti Anamayam. Then he should enter into the Parampadam, which is Vaikuntha, spiritual world. So Vaikuntha Pati, or the Supreme Lord, is the source of all existence. Krishna is actually called as the Paramatattva, the supreme truth from whom everyone, everything emanates from him. So, and he is ever existent. And what does he do, existing forever? Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat samaschapyadikascha drishyate, parasa shaktir vividaiva shuvyate, swabhava kijnana balakriyacha. This is a Shruti mantra which says, na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Actually, the supreme truth has no work to do. Na tat samascha adhikascha, means there is no one equal to him, there is no one superior to him. He has no work to do. Then is he idling? Is he stagnant like a stone? Does he not do any activity? In that connection, the Shastras say, materially he has no work to do. But spiritually, he is ever active. Always he is active and dynamic. In the spiritual world, there is not a moment that passes without the Lord manifesting multiple pastimes, activities with his devotees. So the translation of the word Leela means activities performed by the Lord out of his sweet will for the sake of expanding pleasure of himself and of the living entities. This is the definition of Leela. Again, I'll tell you. Leela means the activities enjoyed by the Lord by his own sweet will for the sake of expanding his pleasure and expanding the pleasure of his children, the jivas. So, in this way, but Lord doesn't do the leelas alone. He performs with his antaranga shakti. Antaranga shakti is like you will see Lord Vishnu is always sitting in the Anantasesh with Lakshmi. Similarly, Radha and Krishna together. Similarly, Sita Rama together. And all of us are children. Eternal part and parcels. So when Lord performs leelas with his antaranga shakti, that becomes a great subject matter for all the jivas to enjoy also. The jivas relish greatly. Therefore, immediately, whatever I spoke now, brings the two other aspects of the Lord. After calling him as Paramatattva, the second thing is Sarva Shaktiman. Third is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So Sarva Shaktiman means he is always attended to by innumerable shaktis like Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Vibhuti Shakti, Karuna Shakti, like that there are many shaktis. Even Brahma Shakti, Vishnu Shakti, Shiva Shakti. The shaktis means the feminine forms of the energies of the Lord who are with folded palms always awaiting to serve him, very eager to serve him. In fact, the shakti is that personality who practically does everything for the Lord, we can say. If you read the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book called Jaiva Dharma, in that there is one conversation between Guru and disciple. So the disciple is asking Guru that I am seeing that in the spiritual world Antaranga Shakti has expanded as Sandini, Sambit, Hladini. Hladini is what potency? Pleasure potency. And the Sandini is existence potency. Samvit is knowledge potency. In the material world, these three are existing. How, you know, Sandini in the spiritual world is manifesting the spiritual planets, all the spiritual items at Sandini. But that is manifesting as 14 planetary systems in the material world, pervertedly. Similarly, the knowledge potency there is manifesting as Jadavidya or Avidya in the material world. And the Hradini potency in the spiritual world is manifesting as Indriyatrapti in this material world, sense gratification. So they have a counterpart here, but the counterpart things are all suffering producing. Whether it is sense gratification, whether it is Jadavidya or material science, or whether it is material existence which is Dukalayam, Ashashvatam, all three are suffering producing. But this is also done by Bahiranga Shakti. So the disciple is asking the Guru, Antaranga Shakti there has three potencies, and here also Bahiranga Shakti we are seeing has multivarious potencies here also. So he said it seems that, and not only that, Lord with his Icha Shakti is creating the universes. So Kriya Shakti, Icha Shakti, all these things he is doing. So then it seems that Lord is idling and his Shaktis are doing everything. So can't Shakti be called God? Why do we call the Shaktiman as God? So in response to that, Guruji is telling, you are not aware, Shakti has two characteristics. Shakti always wishes to be subordinate to Shaktiman, and the Shakti is ever eager to know the desires of the Shaktiman to fulfill it. So therefore you will find Shakti always is willing, therefore it's called Sarva Shaktiman. Lord possesses many Shaktis with which he creates the material planets, spiritual planets, activities, everything like that. And she fulfills his desire by fulfilling his order, and she always remains subordinate to him. 98% of the activities are done by Shaktis only. And Shaktiman is just pleased with Shakti. therefore Shakti is a direct expansion of Shaktiman. Lord, therefore he is called as Paramatattva, from whom the Shakti comes, Sarva Shaktiman. Then thirdly, Akila Rasa Amrita Murti. So this is the most important quality of the Lord for our bhakti movement. Our movement is a... somebody asked, why in Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti, all these different things. Why not tell Sarvadharma Parityaja in the beginning only? Just give bhakti directly. So I asked this question to Shyamananda Prabhu, my senior. So he was telling, when you keep a gold ring studded with diamond inside a, you have seen the jewel box, like velvet, blue color velvet or green color velvet, in that if you keep it, it shines out very powerfully. Similarly, Krishna tells Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, all those things he says. Arjuna is hearing all that. And then finally he tells Bhakti Yoga and calls this the highest. Because Krishna wants the Bhakti Yoga to outshine the other paths, which are like the background for the Bhakti Yoga. So people will understand how Bhakti Yoga is. He says finally, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavandyaschasmi tatvatah. He says, no, Bhakti alone is the only way by which I can be understood. Lord can be understood, Lord can be attracted, Lord can be captured, Lord can be controlled by Bhakti. Not only we can know Him, understand Him, attract Him, capture Him, control Him. Finally, Lord becomes subordinate to His devotee. And that is only possible by devotion. Lord says that. So, the Akila Rasamrita Murti means the Lord's crest jewel quality of reciprocating with the love of His devotees. Lord is a supreme lover. He is called as Emperor of Sweetness. The Sanskrit term for this is Rasika Shekhar. Rasika Shekhara Krishna Paramakaruna Ehidu Ehetu Hete Premara Vodgama. This verse comes in the Chaitanya-charitamrita. It's called Rasika Shekhar, Emperor of Sweetness. And Radharani is called as Abode of Love. And Lord Krishna is called Object of Love, or Emperor of Sweetness. So, why he is called Emperor of Sweetness? Everything about him is sweet. His personality is sweet, his walking is sweet, his glance is sweet, his speech is sweet, his heart is sweet, his behavior is sweet. So, that Madhuram Madhuram song says about that. So he is a personification of sweetness. And most importantly, the sweetest aspect of the Lord is when he becomes subordinate to his devotees. At that time he looks most beautiful. You know, one meaning of the word Yashoda, Yash means fame, Da means gives. She gives fame to whom? She gives fame to Krishna. How she gives fame to Krishna? Before Yashoda bound Krishna with a rope, Krishna never had the name Damodar. After Yashoda bound him, he got the name Damodar. And Krishna became million times more popular when devotees of the Lord, they were stunned when they saw this figure that Yashoda can bind the Lord. Lord becomes controlled. So devotees became very hopeful in the path of bhakti after seeing this. Even this personality, very difficult to catch person. Here is Yashoda who has bound him. So Krishna's fame increased millions of times by this pastime. So who gave that fame to Krishna as Damodar? Therefore she is called Yashoda, one who is giver of fame to Krishna also. So this characteristics of Krishna called as Akila Rasa Amrita Murti. His Rasa Amrita Murti. His sweetness of his exchange with his devotees is compared to Amritam. In this world also, sometimes when a man, woman, come in touch with each other, they write poetry, they glorify so many things, but that is not considered Amritam. Mrita means perishable. Amrita means imperishable, everlasting. It is everlasting, ever existing, everlasting. So therefore, and Akila Rasa Amrita Murti, for all the living beings, he is one common central denominator or central lover. He is a lover. And he is such a personality, in whichever person's heart that love resides, you will find him reach there, exactly. And he will not just leave that person very easily. He will meet that person and he will want to strike a relationship, and he will go to any extent to strike relationship with the devotee. Therefore, on the surface of the globe, many innocent, pure-hearted, completely non-duplicitous, nishkapat, pure devotees are wandering. But they are one in a million actually. Not one in a million of people. One in a million muktatmas and siddhatmas. That verse says that, no? Kotishvapi Mahamune. That verse says in 1 crore siddhas and mukta purushas, pure devotees one. And wherever such pure devotees are present, immediately Krishna has to go and strike a relationship with such devotees. And what does he do? Just as sometimes a mother and child enjoy each other's company very much. Child feels great shelter in the mother. Mother feels great joy in the child's sweetness and beauty. Similarly, just as Rupa Goswami says, the boy and the girl, when they meet each other, they feel a great attraction, attachment to each other. Similarly, Lord feels great attachment to his pure devotees. Therefore, when he feels such attraction, he cannot resist himself. He admires such devotees in his heart. He appreciates, he admires, he faints sometimes by seeing such devotees' behavior. Therefore, we cannot understand how much Krishna goes mad by seeing the pure devotion in the heart of his pure devotees. I'll tell you one little pastime, you'll understand. When Radharani and her friends, gopis, when they were small little girls, they were playing in Barsana, in that area. And Krishna and covered boys, they were also playing some ice boy game. You know ice boy, what do you call that? You know, you blindfold a boy and then he will search for the other boys. Sometimes they would blindfold Krishna also. And then the boys will hide in different places and Krishna is supposed to find them. You think it's very difficult for Krishna? He is in the heart of everybody. He can quickly go and catch and touch the person. But they would play games like this. So one time, when covered boys were playing games like this, that area was not very far from Barsana. So they were playing. So one covered boy was blindfolded and Krishna was hiding behind a tree. And that covered boy was searching different boys in different places. And Radharani and her friends were playing also. And Radharani was blindfolded. And she was supposed to find out the other girls. So as she was searching and going around the different trees, at last she came to that tree where Krishna was sitting. Small kid Krishna was sitting. And Krishna was not watching her. She came from behind. And Krishna was looking somewhere else for that other boy who was supposed to search him. And Radharani came near the tree and touched the tree and she put her hands on Krishna's shoulder. She thought, I have caught one of the gopis. She thought. She just shook like this. And then she took off her blindfold to check which gopi is that. And suddenly Krishna stood up and turned around. So as soon as Krishna saw Radharani and Radharani, see, only once they have seen before is when she was in the cradle. You know, Krishna was a very small baby came. Now this is the second time he's seeing, you know, he is less than 8 years. Radharani is even lesser than that. So as soon as Krishna saw Radharani and her eyes, glistening eyes with tears of love, and her curly hair and her face like a beautiful moon, as soon as he saw, Krishna fainted on the spot. Dhadal, he fell on the ground. And Radharani also saw Krishna's bluey sapphire-like body, very amazed. And he is her eternal lover. When she saw, and she was shocked, seeing that he has fainted. Why Krishna fainted? Because he admires his pure devotee so much. His heart swells in great joy when he sees pure devotees who have no other aspiration, no other motivation. So he fainted. So Radharani ran. And she ran back to her friends and assembled all her friends and Radharani said, today onwards I will not eat at all anything. And they asked why. She said, look at me, how hard-hearted I am. You know, when I was sitting, when I was searching for all of you, I found this fellow, Nanda Baba's son, and suddenly he fell down to the ground. I don't know what happened to him. Is he alive or dead? I don't know. I left him and I ran away. I never even sprinkled water. I never endeavored to get him up. Therefore, I have decided not to eat anything. So the other gopis said, we'll find out and tell you. So they, when they went to Krishna's place, Nanda Bhavan, and they found that the boy was awake now, he had gone back and met all his friends and everybody. After they gave the news, Radharani became very happy after that. So, but why I told you, Krishna's amazement by seeing his devotees. So just as now I told you, Krishna was amazed by Radharani's pure devotion, he developed a very strong desire to experience that devotion himself. So he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see, he has two roles he plays. Sometimes he will play the role of Krishna. Sometimes he will take on the mood of Radharani. When he was in Jagannath Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great separation from Jagannath, when Jagannath was in those anavasara period, no? Later on the Netra Unmilan happens. So in that period, Mahaprabhu, as soon as the altar closed, he cannot see Jagannath anymore for 15 days or so. That time, he put his head down and with his nails of his lotus feet, he made markings on the ground and streams of tears fell from his eyes continuously due to intense feelings of separation from Jagannath. So Kaviraj Goswami writes, at that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt he was Sakshat Radharani. He felt himself to be completely non-different from Radharani. Exactly he behaved like Radharani, like that he says. But there are other places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita you read where Krishna behaves as Sakshat Krishna. He behaves. So I will take one such pastime today and we will discuss that. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts as the Supreme Lord Krishna, even in Chaitanya Leela, there are occasions like that where he acts. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited the Mahaprakash Leela, at that time, that was the time when he sat on the Vishnu's throne. That means he is exhibiting his position as the Supreme Lord. There are occasions like he showed the Vishwarupa Darshan to Advaita Acharya Prabhu once also. There also he showed his supremacy. Similarly, he showed his Radha Krishna form to Ramananda Rai once. Similarly, in this instance, Mahaprakash Leela, he showed different people different darshans, different special revelations he showed to prove his supremacy. It was a 21 hours Leela. In that Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees, go and bring Sridhar, he said. So, devotees hadn't heard, who is this person? Who is this Sridhar? So they all wanted, and then Mahaprabhu gave one clue. If you want to find out, where is he? If you go in that area, you will hear loud chanting of the holy name. And that is his lakshana, the symptom. He always, in the whole night he will be chanting the holy name. So you can go and find out in that area. So devotees went to that area. So Lord Chaitanya gave some clue to them about how his name was actually called Kolavecha. Many people actually were not even aware of his Sridhar name. They only knew him as Kolavecha only. So when devotees went there, in that area, they could hear the loud cry of this Kolavecha Sridhar. The whole night he would be calling out Krishna's names. Where is the mridanga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody, Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sridhar that, Sridhar, you always called my holy names very desperately. You always remembered me with great love. You always served me with great devotion. See the kind of adjectives Lord Chaitanya uses for his devotion. It's very worth learning from the qualities of Sridhar. So when devotees went to find him out, very easily they could spot out his place. So the devotees praised him profusely for his devotion, and when they told him, Lord Nimai Pandit is showing this Mahaprakash Leela where he will, he is manifesting his original form of his Supreme Lord. So he has called for you. So when he came to know that the Supreme Godhead has called him, he fainted on the spot. Then devotees practically picked him up and gently led him to the place. So, like this, Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions this in Chaitanya Bhagavata, and then he goes on like a flashback to the life of Kolavecha Sridhar. So, when Lord Krishna manifests in this world, himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is coming to taste devotional service himself. So while tasting himself, he also wants to go and put a torchlight on the characteristics and the qualities of other pure devotees also, like Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, similarly Kolavecha Sridhar, Shuklambar Brahmachari, Narasimhananda Brahmachari, Gadadhar Pandit, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai. He goes all around, puts torch on everybody and shows to the world, just see what kind of devotees I have. Each devotee stands for something. Sanatana Goswami for humility, and Ramananda Rai for self-control, and Bhattacharya for giving the definition of mukti, and Ramananda Rai for Krishna Rasa Tattva, and Rupa Goswami for exactly representing the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in this way, Lord runs around exposing the pure devotees to the world so that the world can benefit from their association. So, and this is one of his favorite pastimes, that he glorifies his devotees, highlights the qualities of his devotees. So when Lord appeared as Nimai Pandit, he had an extremely beautiful, attractive form. Even when Isharapuri had come to Navadvip Dham, to the home of Advaita Acharya Prabhu, standing outside, kneeling down and hearing Krishna Katha going on. Then Advaita Acharya Prabhu sensed someone has come, so he came out of the house and he asked, "Oh my son, tell me, who are you?" He said, "I am the lowest of the Shudras. I have come to see your lotus feet." Like that he said. And he wore a very simple sannyasi dress. But immediately Advaita Acharya understood he is a great soul. And nearby Mukunda was standing. Seeing the situation, Mukunda sang some beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and sang the holy name. Hearing that, Isharapuri fainted on the ground, and Advaita Acharya picked him up and kept on the lap. But when he kept him on his lap, profuse tears like syringes came out of his eyes, you know, wetting the hands of Advaitacharya Prabhu. Advaitacharya immediately detected who was it? It's Isharapuri. So Isharapuri remained in Navadvip for a few months. On one of the days when Isharapuri was staying at the home of Gopinath Acharya, because Gopinath Acharya not only comes in Jagannath Puri Leela, he had a house in Navadvip also. So he was staying in the house. There Gadadhar Pandit would come to hear also regularly. So one of the days when Isharapuri was walking on the street, on the opposite side he saw Nimaya Pandit coming. So there's a beautiful description there, how Nimaya Pandit looked. He had curly locks of blackish hair, silken hair, and his body was like golden effulgence. A sacred thread was passing through his body. He had a shining kasturi tilak on his forehead. His eyes were like bumblebees, always restless, restlessly moving. So when he saw this beautiful form of the Brahmana boy carrying some books, surrounded by his other boys, students, when he was coming, Isharapuri stopped for a while and asked him, "What is your name?" He asked him, "And what is the book that you are carrying with you? And what do you teach your students? And where do you live?" Like that he asked him some questions. Then Nimaya Pandit also saw Isharapuri and he was stunned. He didn't speak a word. But his students told, "This is Nimaya Pandit." He said, Oh, it is he. Like that he said, "Oh, I heard your name very well. You are very popular. But first time I am seeing you." "Oh, it is he," he said, Isharapuri. And at that time Nimaya Pandit invited Isharapuri to his home for taking alms. Because when you see a sannyasi, some saintly person, you should give some alms. So he took him to his house. And Sachimata had cooked, he offered prasad. So Nimaya Pandit's beautiful form was extremely enchanting. With that beautiful form, Nimaya Pandit would also move in Navadvip, and he came to the place of Kolavecha, Sridhar. And each of the dialogue that Nimaya Pandit had with him have so many lessons inbuilt in it. One of the first things comes to my mind. He asked Kolavecha Sridhar when he met him, he said, "Hey Kolavecha, look at you. You know, you are worshipping Krishna or Vishnu always. But you are so poverty stricken. You live in a thatched hut. You hardly eat anything. Look at the worshippers of Mangalachandi. You see how rich they are. And how big bungalows they live in." So hearing this, Kolavecha said, "Oh my Brahmana, my dear Brahmana, my Lord, a king lives in a palace, a bird lives in a tree, and animals live in different places here and there. But everybody has some living place allotted by the Supreme Lord. And everybody gets their daily food by providence. Somebody may be eating little, somebody may eat a lot. But ultimately, it is Lord Krishna who arranges for everybody's food, and everybody's clothing, and everybody's shelter. What difference it makes? The time passes away for everybody. And everybody has a time allotted. And then once the time passes away, one has to leave this world and go. So he said, "I am completely satisfied what is arranged by Krishna through the agency of providence. So I don't have any other hankering. If somebody wants wealth like what Mangalchandi is giving, let them go to her. But I am satisfied with Krishna." And he said, "Whether we have little or we have lots, the worship of the Lord is very satisfying to the heart of the devotee." Actually, what he said was very true. In Pune, every marathon time I go for Bhagavatam distribution. Sometimes people call on phone and invite me to come. So me and my assistant, two of us go. So one of the houses was in the Jopadipat area, which means like a slum area. Very small house, very small room, you know. It will be less than 200 square feet. House, very small. So I went to that house, I saw a husband, wife and two children, all wearing beautiful tilak, kantimala, husband in dhoti kurta, wife in sari, and they welcomed me at their entrance with big smiles on their face. So they said, "Prabhu," and the Prabhuji said, "Prabhuji, when I called you, I thought you may not come to a place like this. You know, ours is a very simple place, we are living in the midst of slum, very poor people." Although they were poverty stricken from a material point of view, spiritually they were very wealthy. When I went to their house, immediately 40 people came all around from the slum, and there was no place to sit. Inside the house, you can only have 4 or 5 people only. So I told them that I will sit outside. They said, no, 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 you have come to our house, you should not sit outside. So they put me inside the house and other people sat outside. Even the residents of the house, they all sat outside. For their satisfaction, I sat near the door. And I gave a lecture. Why I am telling you, Kolavecha was similar. Lord Chaitanya told him, look at your hut, it has so many holes, and look at the clothes in your body, they have even more holes than the holes on your roof. But he was very happily situated in that situation also. So this is one of the first dialogues Anima Pandit had with them. Anima Pandit started purchasing banana leaf and banana cups and banana trunk and everything from him, which Kolavecha used to sell. And half the money which would come, Kolavecha would use it for Ganga Puja. And this was his everyday worship, daily. Daily whatever money comes, half of it he would allot. In this way he had no attachment to the wealth earned, meager amount of wealth also. And it is said that in truthfulness, he was just like Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was so truthful, whatever price he fixed, the people would close their eyes, buy and go. Because nobody had any suspicion or doubt. He's a businessman making money from us. People had full trust in him because of his truthfulness. So Nimaya Pandit saw these qualities. He has such devotion to Krishna. He has such truthfulness. And he has such simplicity. And even though he is very poor, he is offering half his wealth to Krishna's service without any fear of the future security. That kind of dedication. So Nimaya Pandit, therefore I told you in the beginning, when Lord comes to this world, he goes in search of such devotees in whose heart resides pure devotion. So he found out, here is a fellow. So these are the people who are considered the wealthiest people in the creation. See, I'll tell you why they are wealthy. In Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's one commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Lord Vishnu considers them extremely wealthy for one reason. Because they have rejected moksha also. See, they don't want Indra Padavi, they don't want Brahma's post, they don't want moksha also. So, if somebody can reject moksha, that means he has something more wealthier than having moksha also, which is actually devotion. What to speak of becoming a crorepati or lakhpati, crorepati, arapati or something like that. So, Nimaya Pandit went to his shop regularly to meet him and have exchange with the devotee, with his own devotee. But what Nimaya Pandit would do, when Kolavecha would look at Nimaya Pandit, he would become very pleased. Today a beautiful Brahmana has come to my shop. And he felt great joy in serving a Brahman. And he wouldn't mind giving a little concession also. But Nimaya Pandit would be very aggressive. Therefore it is said in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Kolavecha was by nature very polite and peaceful. And Nimaya Pandit was by nature restless and aggressive. It is said he was actually called as Tarki Kishiromani, you know, he played that role. So, when Nimaya Pandit would go to his shop and pick up the things, multiple things he would pick up and ask him, why don't you give me at half the price? And then naturally, Kolavecha would tell him that I'm not making any profits. Whatever I'm earning, I'm using half for Ganga's Puja and all that he would say. And then he would tell him, he would get up from his seat and tell him, okay Nimaya Pandit, if you are going to bargain too much, you leave it behind and go to some other shop. So they both would show means, you know, he would pull and Nimaya Pandit would pull and he would pull. They would be pulling each other, the commodities, whatever he has selected. They would do like that. But then Nimaya Pandit would say, no, who said I'm going to go to another shop? When I got a good supplier, why should I go to another shop? I'm going to take it from you only. He would say. Then he would say, and Nimaya Pandit would say, see, you are pretending to be a poor man, so that you can sell this to me at a good price. Like that he would say. But I know that you are extremely wealthy. But I am wondering, why do you hide your wealth always? One day we'll expose you to the world, how wealthy you are. What he meant by saying this, actually, Krishna prema vina avyartha daridra jivan dasa kori vetan more deya prema dhan. He says, Krishna prema vina vyartha daridra jivan. He is saying, if I don't have Krishna prema, I have two qualifications. What is it? I am daridra and my jivan is vyartha. That means one who doesn't have Krishna prema is a poverty stricken person and his life is a waste, he says. But if somebody has Krishna prema, the opposite. That means, is he daridra? No, he is the most wealthiest. And what about his life? His life is most glorious. That's the opposite of that. Therefore, Mahaprabhu said, you are the most wealthy fellow. And you are the most blessed fellow. Therefore, I am going to expose you to the world, he said. So, in this way, sometimes Kolavecha would tell him, okay, Brahmana, you know, once in a while, if I give all these commodities even freely to a Brahmana, I am not going to undergo any loss. Because giving to a Brahmana like you is ultimately producing only Sukriti. Why are you paying half? You take everything free only. You give him free. And in my point, you would say, oh, that is very wonderful. It's very kind of you that you have given me free. He would take it and go. So every day, Nimai Pandit would eat in the leaf, banana leaf, his prasad every day at home. In that only. While eating in the leaf, he will remember Sridhar. This is a leaf I have brought from Sridhar. See how the Lord delights in eating in the leaf given by his own devotee. He says, he thinks that my devotee Sridhar has given for me. I'll eat in this every day. So in this way, sometimes Nimai Pandit would argue with him, and then Nimai Pandit would tell him, you don't know whom are you arguing with. You are saying that you are using half the money to Ganga for Ganga Puja. You don't know, I am the father of Ganga. You say, Ganga is at my feet, you would say. And immediately Kolavecha would block his ears and say, Vishnu, Vishnu, you know, this Brahmana is claiming to be the father of Ganga. So he become shocked and surprised by such a kind of speech. So this went on and on several times like this. And every time the Brahmana would come, Sridhar would be looking forward for him. Oh, he has come now. And he didn't know, see, all the devotees in Navadvipa were in Yogamaya. So they could not detect who Lord Chaitanya was. Because Lord Chaitanya wanted to increase the sweetness of his relation. So he presented himself as a Dvijasreshta Brahmana there. Extremely handsome and coming and presenting himself to his different devotees. Because Kolavecha also could not ascertain who it was due to Yogamaya, he couldn't know. But he was in love with him. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had called for him, bring that Sridhar during Mahaprakash Leela. And my devotees lifted him and brought him in front of Mahaprabhu. And when he came to his external consciousness, he saw the form of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu showed him one very, very special darshan. Mahaprabhu said, come Sridhar, come. As I told you, I will expose your great wealth today to all the devotees. There are two occasions in which Lord exposes the wealth. When he is going on Sankirtan, he takes the pot from the house of Kolavecha and drinks from it. And Kolavecha says, I am dead, I am gone, like that he says. And this is another occasion in Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprabhu exposes the glory of Sridhar. So, and Nimai Pandit was in the same form of Nimai Pandit in front of Sridhar in the beginning. But now Nimai Pandit got transformed into beautiful Shamsundar form. So Lord showed him the beautiful Shamsundar standing in threefold bending form, playing on his flute with peacock feather, with curly locks of hair, his dazzling golden dhoti with Vaijayanti mala in his neck, and the whole beauty of Vrindavan. All next to him was standing Balaramji, right next to him. And all the different demigods were showering flowers. So he gave this very beautiful darshan of Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram darshan. And seeing this, Kolavecha fell down to the ground, unconscious. Actually, above Krishna there was Anantashesh, like an umbrella, over his head, giving darshan also. And there was Lakshmi standing next to him, giving betel nuts to him, serving him. And then he found there were innumerable Lakshmis. Serving the Lakshmi Sahasra Shat Sambram Sevyamanam. The whole spiritual world manifested there. So when Kolavecha fainted unconscious, and after some time when he resumed, when he got up, Lord told him, Kolavecha, I love you so much. You know, offer me some prayers, he said. Kolavecha said, my dear Lord, I am illiterate. What prayer can I offer you? I am unqualified to offer you any prayers. Lord said, no, no, no. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you speak it out and that will be called as prayer. He said, in the future, all the world will verify your prayers. So don't worry what is coming out of your mouth. Because you are a pure devotee, you don't have to worry what comes out. Whatever comes out will be glorious. So in the beginning he tells a prayer similar to that verse, Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para makaha, Vasudeva para yoga, Vasudeva para kriyaha, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva param tapaha, Vasudeva para dharmo, Vasudeva para gati. So like this he says, my dear Lord, you are the yajna, you are the dan, you are the tapa, you are the yoga, you are all dharma. Like that he tells in the beginning. Subsequently he tells the Lord that when you told me that you are father of Ganga, Ganga flows from your feet, I said Vishnu, Vishnu, and I blasphemed you. What a fool I was. On that day I didn't recognize Nimai Pandit to be Sakshat Krishna. Now you have proved yourself who you are. Not only Ganga flows from your feet, my Lord, and she has become holy. Your feet are always standing in Gokul Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. The Gokulam is sanctified by your footprints. In fact, you go barefoot in Vrindavan, herding the cows and calves, and you rendered the whole of Vrindavan completely sanctified it by your footprints. I was such a fool, I did not surrender to you. I did not understand your glory. And then he said that although you are the supreme truth, you are Paramatattva, there is no one equal to you, no one greater than you, you are the source of everything. But I know very well that many of your pure devotees have defeated you. And by defeating you, they have increased your glory many, many more times. Then he told, Bhishma defeated you in battle and made you break your vow and lift the wheel of a chariot and go running towards Bhishma. Similarly, he said, Yashodamaya bound you with a rope very easily. And Satyabhama, by her anger and by her demand, she made you go to heavenly planets and bring the Parijata plant for her. Isn't it? So he told many names of different devotees like this, who all conquered the Lord. And then he said, in this way, my dear Lord, you never feel ashamed in being defeated by your devotee. Every time you are defeated, you feel greatest delight in that. And seeing you defeated by your devotee, other devotees cry by your seeing your submissive behavior towards your pure devotees. Like this, Kolavecha went on, narrating many, many prayers. Then he tells the Lord about all his avatars. You came as, you know, what all amazing forms you have come. You came as Matsya and gave shelter to all the drowning living entities. You came as Varaha and you gave shelter to the earth on your tusks. Similarly, you came as Parashurama and destroyed all the religious kings. Every time you came, you gave protection to so many of your devotees. And you can never be alone without your devotees. You always love to be surrounded by your devotees. So in this way, when Kolavecha went on, offering many, many prayers, the Lord was delighting in all his prayers. And the Lord told him, Kolavecha, now it is time for me to offer you some benediction. I took so many bananas and everything free from you. Now I have to give you something now. Isn't it? So I have thought of giving you the Ashta Siddhis so that you will not have any poverty. All Siddhis will be at your beck and call. Prapti means, you can put your hand anywhere and get anything you want from the world. Prabhupada says some yogis can put their hand and get a pomegranate from any garden. Or you can put your hand in Ranka Jewelers and get any jewelry and bring it here. anything from anywhere in the universe. So Lord thought, if I give him Ashta Siddhi, this fellow will have no poverty at all. And he said, no, my Lord, what will I do with all these Siddhis? I don't want, he said. Lord said, at least can I make you a king? If you don't want to become heavenly king, at least earthly king. He said, no, I don't want to become. What will I do with kingship? It is useless for me, he said. So Lord proposed many things. Then Lord said, okay, I will not propose any suggestions to you. Now you ask directly, what do you want? And he said, my dear Lord, my only desire is, let me be allowed to always sing your holy names. Let me always exhibit devotion for you. Let me never forget you. And then he said, I have one more desire, he said. What is the desire? The Lord asked. He said, my desire is to always see you in this beautiful form of Nimaya Pandit, as a beautiful young Brahmana, with big lotus petal-like eyes, restless eyes, and coming to my shop, and trying to bargain with me and take away my commodities in half the price. You know, keep doing it, life after life, and you don't aspire for anything else. See, one amazing thing you find in the scriptures, the devotees fall in love with the Lord in a particular form. Like he says in the Damodarashtakam song, he says, I want to see you as a Bala Mukunda. What is that paragraph? Edam Teva Purnata Gopala Balam Sadame Manasya Virastam Kimanye. I don't want anything. I just want to see you in this Bala Gopal form. Because when I see you as Bala Gopal with curly hair, as a small baby running away from Yashoda, and I see your restless eyes moving out of fear for Yashoda. See, Krishna, while running, he would turn behind and run, because he wanted to check whether the distance is sufficient between him and Yashoda. But every time he would turn around and run, that time the ornament in his ear, Kundalam, that would be moving. Therefore, in the first he says, what is the first line he says? Namameshwaram Satchidanandarupam Satkundalam Gopule Rajamanam. Why is he glorifying only the shining kundal? Even there is necklace in his body, or he has there is a golden belt around his. So he is not glorifying anything. Why is he glorifying only the kundal? Not only the kundal is shining because of the Brahma Jyoti coming from Krishna's body, but the kundal, every time Krishna turns and moves, the kundal kisses his cheeks repeatedly. Therefore, the kundal is considered the most blessed. Like that our Sanatana Goswami says, the Digdarshini Tika. Therefore, Lasat Kundalam Gokule Prajamanam, like that he says. So he is visualizing the side of how Krishna looks so beautiful. You all have seen the picture of Krishna looking at the parrot. One of the most beautiful pictures. Actually, when I go for distributing the books, I have some of my cards with me, business cards. So some of the cards I have that picture of Krishna looking at the parrot. So when I was selling the books, those who buy the books from me, I give them a card. So one lady said, no, I don't want these books. I have no time to read spiritual books, she said. Then I was taking out the card and giving to somebody who purchased the book. So she saw this card in the Krishna's form. I think she said, please, can I have a copy? No, she asked. And then her friend told her that, no, only for those who buy books, they give a card. Her friend was selling. I didn't say that. Then immediately she took out the money and took on Bhagavad Gita and took the card. So then I was amazed. You see, people, even those who don't have sukriti to appreciate the book, they didn't have sukriti to buy the book from the beginning. When she saw that beautiful form of Krishna, immediately she became attracted. Krishna looking at the parrot. She said, I will stick this picture in my Bhagavad Gita, she said, inside. So every day I can open and watch like that. So same sight he wants to watch Satyavrat Muni also. And Bhishma wants to watch another vision. What is it? He sees that Arjuna is sitting in the chariot and Krishna is taking the ropes of the horses and sitting as a Partha Sarathi, and his dhoti is glistening and he is wearing a mukut and beautiful kundal and curly locks of hair and Krishna is making the horse ready, like that he is telling. That is also mentioned. In the Acharya's Tika it is mentioned, when Krishna made such a sound and was preparing the horses, that time Bhishma saw that sight, he became thrilled by seeing that sight. So he said, I want to see you as Partha Sarathi always. Another sight Bhishma was very much impressed was when Krishna picked up the wheel of the chariot and ran towards Bhishma. His hair was flowing and his Angavastra was falling and the dust was covering his body. And there was anxiety ridden eyes because he was fearful to protect Arjuna, and Arjuna catching his feet. So when Bhishma saw, he said, let this sight permanently get registered in my heart. So he wanted to see this sight. Markandeya Rishi wanted to see Krishna as a Vatapatra Shai. In that form he wanted to see Krishna. So you will find every devotee has an aspiration to see the Lord in a certain vision, certain type of form. So our qualifications are expected that let me keep seeing the Lord as Nimaya Pandit, coming to my shop, arguing, let this pastime go on eternally. Because he found the greatest juice, spiritual juice or spiritual joy in that exchange or in that reciprocation with the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to highlight the quality of Sridhar, and he told the devotees, just see devotees, this personality, what is his heart? See his golden heart. It has no aspiration at all. No aspiration of this material world, earthly pleasures or the heavenly pleasures or even the moksha vancha also. Lord says, if many of my devotees don't want moksha, what else can I give? The only thing I can give them is myself only. I had to give myself to them. I have nothing else to give. And Lord said, those people who are very scholarly in the study of the scriptures, they become very proud and they become offenders of the devotees many times. And they don't know the glory of devotional service, despite such learning. And therefore they may not understand the value of persons like Kolavecha, who may externally appear to be deceptively simple. But no one should misunderstand a pure devotee who is walking on the surface of the globe, appearing like an ordinary person. Rich people may think, look at this poverty stricken fellow, he is a beggar, they may think. But devotee carries the greatest wealth, but Chaitanya said that. And Kolavecha has the greatest wealth. So, in the Bhagavatam it is said, does Lord give material benedictions to his devotees? The answer is yes, he gives. But there is something special when he gives. Satyam dishatyat titamartito nrinam naivartita yat naivartito yat. What is the second line? Naivartito satyam disha naivartito yat. Second line he says that satyam dishati artitam artito nrinam. When Lord gives material benediction to his devotee, it is not like demigods giving material benediction. Because when demigods give material benediction, the itching increases more and more. Itching of wanting to ask more and more. Like Ravana asked more, finally was destroyed. Whereas when Krishna gives to his devotee, he says, Taibhartito yet punaha, the word comes, which means, he says, Prartito punaha. They never ask him second time for anything else. If Lord gives once. Because the greed or hankering doesn't increase. What is the reason for that? Later on he says, Ichchapidanam nijapada pallavam. Lord gives the honey of his lotus feet to those devotees. Not only that, bhajatam anichatam. They do not actually hanker for getting the Lord's lotus feet. Still the Lord gives them. This is the most surprising thing. See, when Dhruva went to forest, did he want the lotus feet of Vishnu for becoming a pure devotee? No. But still the Lord gave him the nectar of his lotus feet and made him forget the hankering for Dhruva Loka. Similarly, you all know that Daku Bhagat, when he was sitting in a Bhagavatam class, when he heard the description of Yashoda putting jewelry in Krishna's body, so what was his whole focus? I should get this jewelry, correct, no? So when he went to Vrindavan, he was remembering, Vrindavan, Yamuna and Krishna, all that he was remembering. So when he went and gave a banana to Krishna, he thought the child will eat the banana and I can take the jewelry. So Krishna took the banana and started eating. But the thief kept his hand on jewelry, Krishna caught his hand immediately. This you cannot take. Because my mother Yashoda will ask, what happened to jewelry? And what will I tell her? But by the time Krishna caught the hand of the thief had a 10,000 volt transcendental electric shock. So immediately he fell on the ground, rolling on the ground, weeping and crying in great ashtasattvika vikar manifested in his body. He cried out loudly and said, Krishna, I don't need your jewelry. But Krishna said, no, you take it, now I can give you. He said, enough is enough, I don't want anything. I simply want to become your pure devotee. See, this is Krishna's trick. What is it? See, when people are, generally in this world, demigods give to people who are hankering, isn't it? Krishna says, come, I'll give you, come. He calls near. And then he destroys the desire for material enjoyment. And after devotee says, no, I don't want, now you take it, I'll give. Right, no? So that's what he did for Dhruva, isn't it? So, it's not that Lord is duplicitous or anything. Lord wants to ensure that the material enjoyment will not damage our spiritual life. It will not destroy our spiritual life. So he wants to ensure that. He wants to make sure our heart is purified and then he gives. So many things could be said, but Gaur Purnima is occasion when we remember Nimaya Pandit becoming Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Dvija Sreshta and Yati Sreshta. And at the age of 24 he took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri and propagated this Shuddha Bhakti. What he admired in many devotees like Kolavecha, the same thing he propagated to all the world. So, the goal of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to cultivate this type of devotion in the heart. So, these three statements I deeply appreciated. One is, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, "Oh, Kolavecha, you called my holy name with so much desperation. You remembered me with great love. You served me with great devotion." So, in this way, Lord is touched by these things only. Lord cannot be attracted by anything else. Lord is completely satisfied with his devotee offering such love. Lord is very eager to reciprocate. And as I was telling you, Lord goes to those places where his devotees are there and exposes the devotee's greatness to the world. And he delights in doing that. Therefore, the demigods in the heaven, I'll conclude with this prayer. It's getting late, 7:30 I'm supposed to end. I lost my control of time.
Nayatra Vaikuntha Katha Sudhapaga Na Sadavo Bhagavatastadashrayaha Nayatra Yagnesha Yata Makamahotsava Surendra Lokopi Navaisa Sevyatam.
This is another amazing verse from the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. I think 18th or 19th chapter, I think, in the Jambudvip prayers. The demigods are saying that, "My dear Lord, na yatra Vaikuntha katha sudapaga." The Vaikuntha, in whichever place Vaikuntha katha is not flowing like a honey river. And in whichever place the Bhagavatas are not glorifying the Lord's pastimes, and whichever place they are not celebrating Utsavams, festivals in his glory, we don't want to be born there. And then they are saying, heavenly planet has become one such place, they are saying. Smriti Pramushta Atishaya Indriya Utsava. Because of excessive sense gratification, in the heavenly planets we have forgotten Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smriti Pramushta Atishaya Indriya Utsava. So we have forgotten the lotus feet of Narayana. So therefore we want to go to India and we want to take birth in South Bangalore, in the ICC temple, where the devotees are very fond of doing kirtan. They are very fond of taking darshan of Jagannath, very fond of katha, they are very fond of chanting, and this is their bread and butter. They don't delight in anything. So demigods are aspiring that they become small babies in this community and experience the taste of devotional service. Krishna Bhagavan ki, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Pancha Tattva ki, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.